Henry from the studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Monday morning, and or Monday afternoon, rather, still used to our Wednesday morning 10 o'clock adventure.
Oh,
and we're still in the experimental stage trying to get everything working. I'm still, this is Robin. I'm Robin, and on the other side is who is it in our remote studio?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm obviously still working on the old system too, because it didn't even think twice when you said it's good morning. But it is afternoon, isn't it? Wow.
Time afternoon. I mean, got the sun out there. At least I think that's the sun. You know, some bright things don't see too much in Oregon.
Oh, we've been seeing that a lot. Yeah. And then it goes away and rains. doesn't take it long, I tell you. It's one of those things. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm hot again. Our old friend, Mr. Obama, is doing it again, but we'll get into that in a minute. What's coming up? Anything?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Obama and some of the executive orders that he's doing. We got a little bit more about Howard Kane and his nine plan as he's changing. And also, what's kind of interesting, too, is how the other candidates they kind of go whichever way the wind blows. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the show. And basically, just hoping everything will just work fine. And
as the phones ring.
we get
phone calls on the show, off the show, on the air, off the air, whatever. It's a busy place.
Well, and the downside is, like I said, we're still working on setting up our remotes, and I'm still up here in Portland on a little makeshift thing. Cliff is in the remote studio in Cottage Grove, and unfortunately, the disadvantages about that is that in the main studio in Eugene, I mean, it's a regular radio studio. I mean, it's got, you know, it's closed off from outside noises. We got better equipment than what we do in remote locations. And typically, mostly, unless they forget to bring their cell phone in, like I do sometimes, I'll get these interruptions, except for the occasional riot when I forget to restock the donuts. The employees kind of go, "Where's our donuts?"
Well, what about the feline employees? What do you hope you don't give them donuts?
Yeah, they just kind of do what cats do. They take out it. Anyways, we're hoping once again that we got our audio issues taken care of. If not, we do have a backup plan, as we're not totally relying on Blog Talk Radio to record. Because what's kind of interesting, and we are still looking for a way around it, because we want to get the remote to work good just because of the opportunities that it allows, is whenever we do the rehearsals off-air, from Skype to Skype, our audio is perfect. It's studio quality. And that's what we strive for. And we've even done test shows through Blog Talk Radio. And again, the audio quality is perfect. But as soon as we go live, that's when it starts sounding like we're broadcasting from somewhere underneath the toilet.
I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to proffer any possible ideas. Just going to sit here. I'm just going to be quiet.
Sit here. Flush.
Keep it all to myself.
In fact, with that being said, if somebody is listening to us live, give us a call or send us a message in the chat room and let us know how we're sounding. Because then, again, one of the failings of Blog Talk Radio versus actual terrestrial radio is that you don't get direct feedback of the signal you're putting out.
Actually, to be honest with you, in this day of digital, you don't do that on terrestrial radio either, because now everything on terrestrial radio is also delayed. And so if you were to play it back, you wouldn't be able to talk. It's really weird. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, to talk and have what you're saying come back, you know, 2 seconds later in your ear. It's so disconcerting. You really can't talk. I used to do that with kids that come into the house. I had a tape recorder that would do that and let them hear that. I would vet them that they can't even tell me their name, address, and telephone number without screwing it up, and I'd always win the bets, of course. It was funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing you can do to test that nowadays is with cell phones, be in the same room with somebody and call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. And digital is, that's the thing. Digital is, you know, I love digital. Digital does some great stuff, but on the same token, I'm sitting watching television, and all of a sudden, the picture just sits there, just freezes, and does nothing whatsoever. Or you're sitting there and watching television, and you get all these big square pixels all over the screen. That never happened with analog television. Never. It might get a little fuzzy and a little snowy or something now and then, but you always saw what was going on. But with digital television or radio or anything, it just goes away and then says to hell with it. It's really weird.
Well, yeah, it's called pixelating.
Yeah.
And analog doesn't pixelate. So if you pixelate it, probably didn't even know it.
I'll pixel you. I mean, well, yeah. Anyway, so much for technical. That's not what we're supposed to be talking about at all. So we're just going to talk.
Before we get into it, I want to, because we've been really lax about this, and I've been getting emails. And although I do like emails, by the way, and
yeah. Keeping the. I got people logging in and logging out of the Blog Talk chat room. They're just logging in and logging out. Is that all they do?
That's all they're doing for the moment. And I just want to mention the chat room. The chat room is open. You can join us there, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You can join us in our very own chat room at KRBNradio.com, where you don't need an account or anything. And I'm going to throw the phone out the window. And what I was going to say is that emails, you can email us, talk@KRBNradio.com. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. But speaking of one of the emails that I got, and I want to do a little bit of business, and that way hopefully it'll keep the emails from coming, at least these type of emails, is from our sponsor, Dancing Dog Cookies, which we forgot to do last week. Dancing Dog Cookies are treats for your doggy. You can check them out at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that is really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles. Skippy loves them. And I'm sure you will, too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Okay, well, I hope that sounds better on the air than what it did in my
Really? Me, too.
Dancing Dog Cookies, check them out. That'd be Blog Talk's fault if that came out. I'm sorry, really bad, so I apologize for that. But check them out, www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Or you can KRBNradio.com and click on the left-hand side. There's a little picture there of the Dancing Dog Cookie, a little advertisement if you wish. You can click on it, and it will take it right to Dancing Dog Cookie's own website, their very own website.
Check out our website anyways for what's going on with the show, and also let our sponsors know that you found them through us. The checks keep coming, and
really. Yeah, it's interesting what's going on. There's a lot of things going on today, and Dancing Dog Cookies. We're going to get a couple more sponsors, but I'm in negotiations with before too long here. Just a hint at what's to come.
Just a hint. Of course, we can't get these audio problems taken care of. We may lose them anyway.
Anyway. One of the things that's in the news that's going on is the earthquake in Turkey, and that's kind of sad. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Earth, Turkey is right on, I guess, several fault lines. And so I didn't realize until this morning, Turkey has a lot of earthquakes. Tandy came out and told me yesterday that when she was talking about it. But since they had a 6.8 in March of 1992, they had a 6.1 in October of 95, they had a 6.2 in June of 98, they had a 7.6 in August of 99, a 7.2 in November of 99. And then in 2002, a 6.1, 2003, a 6.4, 2010, a 6.1, and 2011, a 5.8, and then just yesterday, or day before, whenever it was, a 7.2 that was in Van Province. And that's a lot of earthquakes for just one poor little country like Turkey. And it struck on Sunday morning. And it wasn't very deep. It was only about 12 miles deep, so it did a lot of damage. It did a 7.2 only 12 miles down, does a tremendous amount of damage. And it was in a town, I'm going to say this, but I'm probably saying it wrong, Ricas, a town of about 75,000 people. And an estimated 80 different multi-story buildings collapsed. So that's sad. Of course, Turkey is a really, 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 really old country. And so a lot of those buildings have been a long time around. What was that?
By the way, because the world doesn't know who Candy is, that's one of our staff.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But anyway.
You're not talking to trees. It's actually a person.
Yeah, but anyway, I always watch, because I spent a year in Turkey, so I have kind of an affinity for Turkey. I was working there for a year, but I also got a time to go off and take a vacation for a couple of weeks. And when we went to take a vacation, I wanted to go to Greece, but at that particular time, Turkey had just kicked the Greek ambassador out of the country, and so they had clamped down all traffic, and they had doubled the cost of taking any kind of bus or plane or anything to Greece. And we had budgeted ourselves for a certain amount, and we didn't have any money. Not enough money to do this anyway. So we took off and just took a tour of Turkey instead and went to Izmir and a couple of other places, which Turkey is, part of it is right on the Riviera. And fantastic place. It really is. There's some really neat places there. But Turkey is very... very well. I guess I should mention the fact that this was 1960s that I was there, so maybe it isn't anymore. But it was very backward at that time.
Things might have changed a little bit since then.
Think so? I just have to think about that.
But anyways, Obama's getting himself in more trouble again. I guess basically, now I'm confused. Are we a republic or a dictatorship?
Well, we're a republic that's turned into a dictatorship at the moment, obviously, because we have a leader, supposedly, but a person in office anyway, let's put it that way, and he doesn't really give a damn what the rest of the country wants or cares. He doesn't give a hoot about the Congress at all. I mean, you know, that was what the idea of having our three branches of government was supposed to be, is one would sort of counteract the other, one would make the other one think twice, but he said to hell with them, and it goes around them and does everything by executive order. And that makes it...
And those who don't know what executive order is, could you give a short explanation?
Well, basically, if you can't get something passed through the Congress, you just decide to submit it yourself, and then sign it. And by executive order, it turns into a law. And somehow or another, and I don't know exactly how he does this, but he seems to be able to do this a lot. As a matter of fact, I looked it up, and you can go just right to the government's own website and find out what it is. I thought I had it put down here.
At whitehouse.gov, and just do a search for executive order. Recently, it's whitehouse.gov/briefing room/presidential-action/executive-orders. Or just do a Google search for
executive order. Because I got there from a different place. Mine says gov/federal. Anyway, the point is, in this year alone, just this year alone, 2011, he's done 26 of these. 26 of these. And since he's been in office, he's done like 50 or so since 2009 or whatever, 2008. But 26 of these without being stopped. I mean, he does this and they go away. We've got to find a way of stopping him from doing this. And of course, the one way is removing him from office, which we absolutely, it becomes more and more and more imperative that we do that. But this particular executive order that he did has to do with banks and mortgages, and the fact that he's decided on his own to reinstate the very act that got us into this trouble to get us out of this trouble. Now, how that is going to work and how he figures that out, I'm not quite sure how, but he's said that now anybody's home that's if you've got a home that's worth, that you're what you're paying is more than 125% of what the house is worth, then you qualify without any other admonition at all to refinance. Now, regardless of whether you have any money or don't have any money or whether you can pay for it or not, you qualify to refinance. Well, you know, that's what got us in this whole mess in the first place, was deciding that none of the qualifications counted, that you could do it whether come hell or high water. And here we go again, folks. And he signs this into executive order, and he's out there talking about it and doing it. And you know, we've got, I understand, unfortunately, that if we instituted impeachment orders now, right now, that it would take us until time to elect him to get him out. So we're
exactly. That's one of the things of our system, and that's one of the reasons why I've been advocating for a long, long time that we need to borrow a little bit from Parliament, because in the 21st century, it's too easy for a rogue president to go out and do things on his own, and before anybody can stop him.
Yeah.
You know, with our system, which is a good system, it's one of the best in the world, I think, but it's antiquated. It's too slow. And so what we need to do, we need to add a better check and balance system, like Parliament in a way. Not that I'm advocating to change the Parliament, but I'm saying that to give it the chance to make them more accountable, not just president, by having a vote of no confidence.
Well,
if nothing else, being able to freeze what he's doing so it can be reviewed, instead of every time we go overseas into a war, about a week or two later you hear Congress whining, "Please, Mr. President, declare it a war so we can have a say in it."
Well, and the thing is, he can override things if we, you know, the Congress needs to go in there and defund the war entirely. They've done a weak little partiality of that, but we need to defund all these. You know, there's so many things going on right now. For example, we're going to be bringing back our troops from Iraq. That, of course, is a ploy to get him elected, because the troops from Iraq, there needs to be a lot of them left there. And if you take a look at the actual, laws or whatever, proposed situations, you'll find that once we bring them all back again, we're going to send a great many of them over there back again, like 10,000 of them or something, some huge amount of people, but they're going to be civilian employees instead of military employees. We'll still be paying them, and we'll still be doing the same thing, but it's a way to get the troops back there into Iran. But Iraq, rather, excuse me. Whoa. But anyway, one of the things that might do, which is good, trying to find some good out of the whole thing, is the fact that Iraq has a lot of oil. They've got a huge amount of oil, and they can afford to pay us then for all these people that we're sending back over there to help them out, to teach them things, to show them things, and so on and so forth. So it sort of has its silver lining, I guess.
Well, one thing I wanted to kind of throw out there, too, because, you know, President Obama is parading around like a turkey with his feathers out, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. But what it has been mentioned in the news, but not really, you know, more so in small print, is the fact that the contract agreement with Iraq that Bush put together is expiring. And the, I forget who the leader is over there now, but he doesn't want to renew it. He wants us out of there. That's why he says if we're there after a certain date that they're going to prosecute our troops for war crimes.
I don't think they'll get away with that, but and I don't think they'd even try, because, you know, one thing, they may not necessarily want us there, and hello, folks, think back about this. They didn't ask us there. We went and invaded. Ready or not, we invaded their country. And at the time that we did it, everybody was saying, oh, great, great, but once we actually got it done and actually screwed up a little bit, they didn't want us there, and we didn't leave. So, you know, we're not going to get anywhere with those folks. They're not real thrilled with what has taken place over the many, many years that we've been there. We spent billions of dollars and hundreds and thousands of lives, and all we did is make the whole country mad at us, and we aren't doing anything to fix it, I don't think.
Well, I think that we put our noses in so many places around the world, and what's ironic about that is that we can't even take care of ourselves.
Well, the thing we've got to do is get our noses out of those places, and here's the thing, not out of select places. We need to call in everybody, absolutely everybody. I don't care. We got people stuck in Japan. We got people in China. We got people everywhere. We've got to get them out and bring them home. Bring them home. If we have to keep them somewhere, I understand. I don't want to bring them home and put them out of work. That's a kind of a problem. But that's a lot of times what will happen. Everybody bring them home, but just ignore them. Let them forage for themselves. Put them on the border. It's not really bringing them home for the money. It's just bringing them home to get them out of the harm's way, because we're just spread way too far, and that's what's brought more countries down than any other one thing, is spreading yourself out too far and trying to rule the world, and here we are, we're trying it, and I hear people on the news still saying, you know, we're the strongest country in the world, we have the strongest military in the world, we're the best country in the world, we're this and that. We're not anymore, folks. We're getting down near the bottom of the heap. Things are changing here. We aren't high in education. We aren't high in admiration. I mean, people don't like us. Hello, wake up and swell the...
Well, it's just like a game of chess. You know, if you put all your men on the other side of the board, your king is vulnerable.
That's right.
There's nothing over the other side to protect him. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, our borders are just... have more holes in it than Swiss cheese, and we've already had some terrorists have gotten caught crossing the borders, armed people, and we're not prepared for it. I mean, as many people that have come over that border every year, I mean, if somebody really wants to get serious about an armed invasion, I mean, it'd be so easy to do.
Well, I don't think it would be that easy to do, and if you look at it, you'll find that most of our armed invasions have come from people who actually have lived here for several years and are citizens. They're coming from within. Maybe they were here for years with that very purpose in mind. I don't know. But the point is, a lot of them are here. I mean, other countries have this, it's called infiltration. They put people in place and they leave them there. They let them act like normal citizens, and everybody thinks you're a great guy and all that stuff, but the simple fact is, it's a problem. And we do have to do something about our border points. And how, you know, I've had a point there where I didn't think Homeland Security was a logical move. I thought it was sort of stupid. But Homeland Security, as long as it's left to your home, is a good idea. And let's protect people, because there's a lot of people working from within, and that's just one of the things that happens. So we've got to be prepared and watching for it, ready or not.
Well, you know what it is? It's the whoopee factor. It's like, getting our feet wet with Libya, and, you know, I don't know, our enrollment is in it. About what happened to Gaddafi is still kind of a mystery, but of what happened to him and how he got stuff from the sewer pipe. But, you know, again, Obama's parading around going, "Hey, we helped out!" But, you don't get the whoopee-doo, "Hey, we secured our borders. Hey, we took care of what's going on internally." I mean, that just doesn't make the press as much as, we got involved in another country.
Well, it's making the press, in fact, that we aren't doing it. The press is constantly talking about the fact that we aren't doing anything for our own country or in our own country, as well as the fact that we're talking about all of this stuff about the Middle East over there. And we've got a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East, and it's not just Libya, it's all the other countries. I see that Tunisia, by the way, and this is kind of interesting, Tunisia, we left it to them. They did it all on their own. And they actually did okay, but we're going to be all upset. Everybody in the United States is going to be upset because Tunisia is going to be a Muslim country, and they're going to be run by the Muslims, and we think they should be run by Christians and a whole different type of system than what they're going to do. But they did it, folks, and be happy for them. They got rid of a tyrant, they got rid of a dictator, and they're going to run the country on their own, and they're going to do it their way, and ready or not, that's what Libya is going to do, that's what Egypt is going to do. Egypt is about in the midst of doing the same thing. Egypt is in the midst of having, they have their military is still running the country, they haven't let go of it, because November is actually when their elections are going to be, but they already indicated that they're going to stick around even after that to make sure everything's right. But the Muslims are making inroads. That Muslim faction are making inroads and are making a lot of noise, and people are thinking maybe this is not that bad. Because let's face it, these were Muslim countries, folks, ready or not. So just because they go to a different type of government and a different type of system than we have doesn't mean that they're wrong. Yes.
Well, speaking of different systems, unlike Hussein, the one that they buried at sea.
Oh.
I got my. Anyways.
Anyway.
I may have the name wrong, so I apologize. But the. Have you seen on American news Gaddafi's body? A picture of it?
Now, I did look up all of that, and I did get into that, and I am ready to talk about that, yes.
Okay. Because where I'm going with that is, just like with the 9/11, you know, we don't want to show our kids any pictures of 9/11 because it might scare them. And over there in Iraq right now, they're having, they got Gaddafi, you know, in a freezer, and basically people parading to see the body, and they were going to cut it off, because as one guard pointed out, he says, "Oh, that's enough. He's been causing more trouble dead than alive." But an hour later, there's so many people still showing up, sightseers, that they went ahead and reopened it again. But,
that's a look at Iraq, by the way. But the thing is, the people in Iraq, you got to understand, the Muslim law says that they have to be buried within 24 hours or something like that. I don't know exactly what it is. But the simple fact of the matter is, this man was not Muslim. I mean, he can say he was, and you can say whatever you want to, but nobody, and there were several people who made this statement, nobody who acts the way he did, committed the atrocities that he did, could be considered a Muslim. Nobody should be, you know, considered an active, and so leaving him there and letting people watch him and look at him and not burying him, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. He's disgraced himself by far. He's not worth worrying about. And I agree, by the way, I disagree with our society that gets so panicky about letting a young child see a dead body. You know, I'm with them. They're taking the kids in there and showing them, you know, this is an important thing in their history. This is an important thing in their life. This is a big, momentous day. Here's a man that has now been removed, has been killed, yes, has been removed, that has been giving them pain and anguish for 40 or 50 years, folks. And they want their kids to see this. They want them to see that this is the beginning of a new life for them more than anybody else there.
Well, and on that same token, if you isolate the kids from the real world, I mean, sooner or later, they're going to have to open that door and go out into it.
Well,
they're not going to be prepared.
That's true. That's very true.
Same thing with the 9/11 thing, you know. Our country was attacked. Why sugarcoat it? Why hide it?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it may give the kids nightmares. It may affect them. But you know what? It should.
Well,
I'm not saying it the way that it kind of just sounded right there, but you know, these kids are going to be our future leaders, and they should be aware of the world around them. And you can't keep everybody isolated and in bubble wrap forever, because, like I said, sooner or later you're going to have to open that door and go out into the real world. And the real world is not a very nice place. And by hiding its problems, you're not helping it, in my opinion.
Well, and you're saying that, you know, they might have nightmares, or it might scar them for life. That's only true if you let it. That's only true if that's what you teach your kids. If you teach your kids that this is a terrible man, and this is a good thing that he's gone, and you know, if you act differently than we do in the United States, which they do, then that's, you know, they're much, much, much more prepared to do this thing. We continue to look at them and judge them, ready or not, the word judge I used on purpose, that judge them based on our beliefs and our society. That's wrong, because they aren't living our beliefs and they aren't living in our society. They are different, ready or not, and we don't know what they're like, and that's the thing. We're critiquing them on our basis, and we shouldn't be doing that.
Well, and the feedback that we get from our news sources too, which is one thing nice about the internet, even though I still think it's a fad, is just like before the internet got really popular and everybody could communicate through their smartphones and anything, it was really interesting on the past wars to listen to shortwave radio and compare what's actually going on being reported overseas versus what we are, our American news sources are telling us. A lot of times it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is true. That is one thing that we can get on the internet, is the differing views, because not everything comes from the United States on the internet.
Well, and you're getting it from individuals, not just news sources. People that are there in the midst of it. So, and they tried, I can't remember what country it was, they tried to do a blackout on
we tried to do that when they first had their skirmish and their people, and they did actually take it all off. But there is a point where, with Wi-Fi and things like that, you can go hop from house to house to house and get the information out there. That's why Twitter did such a great job, and that's why these social networks can do such a great job, because they can actually get out there and do their thing even after the government shuts down the entire main hubs and the main internet. With this little Wi-Fi thing, folks, you can't stop it. You just simply can't stop it.
Exactly. Communication. That's one of the things that governments fear, is they don't want you to talk.
Well, at least not if you're not talking about what they want. And that's the thing. We've got to figure out a way to stop President Obama, because he's doing a lot of harm. He really is doing a lot of harm. And he's just, it's my way or the highway. He just doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's going to spend his money, he's going to do his things, and he's going to tear up this country, ready or not. We're going to spend the next 4 years with the new president in there. We're going to spend the next 4 years trying to dig ourselves out of this absolute horrible mess that he's getting us into. He's digging us in so deep it's going to be really difficult. And that's the next poor president, and I really feel sorry for the president that comes in there, because that's going to be his or her job to dig us out of the mire that he's put us in, and it's pretty deep.
And looking at this this list on the White House website of the executive orders, I haven't read more than just the description of it, but I like one of them, August 8th, 2011, blocking property of the government of Syria and prohibiting certain transactions with respect to Syria. Okay. I didn't know we had, well, like I said, I haven't read the article. These are just headlines, but why do we have an executive order for that?
Well, you know, and that's a, that's another thing where he's micromanaging. I mean, I will have to say one thing. I really respect Herman Cain for. I saw him doing an interview, and he was saying very specifically, he used the words micromanage. You cannot become as a president and micromanage America. You can't do that. It won't work. And that's what Obama is trying to do, is micromanage. You've got to find somebody. You've got to find somebody you can trust, put them in there, and let them do it.
That's right. Any good CEO will tell you, CEO of a large corporation, says you cannot micromanage. You have to have your different levels, and those levels have to be reliable and dependable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when the CEO of a, well, like the company I used to work for in Eugene, for example, if the CEO got down on the production floor and tried to tell us how to run things, it would totally mess things up because he hasn't a clue. He doesn't do the job.
Uh-huh.
So his job is to be up there, on the top of the hill, so to speak, taking care of the whole business, not the every small integral workings of it. Same thing with what's going on in America. The best thing the president can do right now is nothing.
Well,
get out of our way. Let the economy repair itself.
Well, that would be one of the things, yes. But then nobody, then we'd have Congress jumping in there and doing something. Nobody can just let it happen. I don't know why, but that's a part of our government. We have to fix things. We can't let them fix themselves. Although we'll sit back and a great many people will sit back and say, well, that's what makes this country great is free enterprise. Yet nobody wants to let free enterprise work. Hello. I don't know why, but that's what made us great, but that's what we got to fix is free enterprise.
Well, that's and some of the bailouts, I mean, on that same note. Sometimes it's healthy for companies to fail. I hate to say it.
Well, I think it's always healthy.
You think it's always healthy?
Absolutely. I don't think there's ever a time we should bail anybody out. Absolutely.
Yeah, what happened to healthy competition? I mean, that's one of the things that makes companies strong.
That's
when you got a company that is like AIG or whatever, that is just too big to fail, quote unquote. Isn't that what they did with AT&T, Paul Bell, that they got too big with Microsoft and others? That's one of the biggest arguments, and now the government's backing
Thing. Lingtemcovat was way back when they broke up the conglomerates. And Lingtemcovat was the one who owned Ma Bell and Western Electric and a bunch of other things, just tons of other things. And they decided, well, Lingtemcovat was way too big and they couldn't continue on because they were going to control the world. Well, they're not going to control the world in the first place. They did break up Lingtemcovat. All it did was make me very mad because a couple of companies that I really like to do business with all of a sudden basically disappeared because they couldn't afford to be in business, if they had to charge the kind of money that, and pay their own, you know, become an independent company. So we broke up the big conglomerates there, but now we're letting them happen again. I notice AT&T is back to buying everything they can get their hands on and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And we keep getting these conglomerates that people are buying another company and putting them together and getting huge big things. And we can't win for losing at this particular point, which is good. Let's keep our hands out of it and let it happen.
I agree with you. And then there's the question of, and I'm referring more to locally here, they're working more to raise taxes and stuff. The question is at what point does the government become too costly for what we get out of our investment into it? You know, what is the role of government, per se?
Well, of course, that depends on who you listen to. I listen to Ron Paul, and He has one opinion that's really radical. If you listen to Herman Cain, he's got another opinion which isn't quite as radical. You listen to Newt Gingrich, and he's got a very, well, he's got a more measured attitude towards it all, but he isn't quite as radical. But all of them have...
I was going to say that's a good lead-in to the topic of the 999 and others. But before we get into that, I want to lead into our phone numbers and contact information, Cliff.
Oh, yes. Once again, if you want to give us a call, and we'd really like for you to give us a call, by the way, because we'd really like to talk to you and get your opinion on anything at all, 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. 9887 is the telephone number to call. Give us a call and do it right now. Once you give us a call, you can hear us on the radio, on the telephone, and you can just sit there and listen if you want to. But as soon as you push the button, the number one on your telephone, then that'll notify me that you're there, and we can push a little button here and talk to you, which we really, really like to do. So 646-721-9887. I do have the chat room up, believe it or not. And people are logging in and logging out and logging in and logging out. I don't see anybody leaving any messages. There's lots of logging in and logging out. I don't know what that's all about. But
a lot of them are logging as guests. And unfortunately, one of the many failings of Blog Talk Radio is that they decided in their wisdom that unless you have a Blog Talk account, whether or not you're a broadcaster or not, that you cannot comment in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, which I think is really a bad idea, because the whole point of Blog Talk Radio is as a means for interaction and communication.
Yeah, and they are all logged in as guests. But if you want to, by the way, we do have another chat room. If you want to talk to us on the chat room, we have another chat room. You go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com. And over on the left-hand side, you'll see a blue button that says chat. Click on that. That will bring up our chat room. It's real easy to do. It just automatically comes up. You give us a few minutes to set itself up and be ready to go. And then all you have to do is sign in. You can give any name, any kind of, you know, a number. You can do anything you want to. You have to give some sort of an indication so that we know who we're talking. You know, we can separate one person from the other. We don't know who you are. It doesn't make any difference. But if you have something to say, you can go on there, and you don't have to sign in. You don't have to log in. You don't have to be a member of anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to, you know, you don't even have to hold your nose right. Just do it. And I'd love to hear
from you. Anything else? Let us know. Send us a short note on the quality of our audio, since we are still working on resolving that issue. And just say hi or whatever. Speaking of audio, by the way, we are in, I believe, late November, early December. I think it's the exact date coming up. We'll announce it. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary of being a blog radio station.
Wow. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It's been a long time, and I haven't even thought about it that much, but we've both been through an awful lot during that period of time, and I'm not going to get into that because that's personal lives, and nobody cares about that except me, of course, and I'm deeply affected by it, but we won't go into that.
Well, yeah, you just got died.
Well, that's true, too, but that wasn't what I meant, but anyway, and that is true. I was like, oh, God, I did, didn't I? Anyway, it's just something that we've been doing, and we've covered an awful lot of information, about 50% of it being our president, I think. Unfortunately.
We've had some shows. We had some good interviews, and we've had some side shows like Trucker Talk, which I am in the works of setting up another Trucker Talk episode, especially with the new regulations that are coming out. It's supposed to be announced this month, and we've had other shows like Life Is. But we're going to come up with some sort of anniversary special, per se, and we'll have some interesting, hopefully some humorous stuff. It was entertaining. So keep checking back. Check krbnradio.com and also check Blog Talk Radio's version for it, as well as our other outlets for information. And you know, we'll try to get as many people. We'd like to see as many people as we can join us for the anniversary program. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some guests and other people to participate. And of course, you know, the biggest participation is you, the listener. Whether you're listening to us live or on the archives, you can still participate, and we do appreciate that, you know, whether it's by email, talk at krbnradio.com, or through the chat or through the comments or whatever. Just keep the comments.
You can email us any old time. I mean, and we just keep checking that every once in a while, and we will be more than happy to address any email you send us. And you don't have to do it in any specific time frame or anything else. That's the nice thing about email. Chat rooms and Blog Talk Radio, you've got to be there at that time. Email, it doesn't make any difference. You can email us stuff anytime, day, night, anywhere, from any place. It's all free. I keep hearing people, especially younger people, of course, talking about, Candy the other day came in and said some young lady was going to help her set up a Facebook account so that she could communicate with her. And I said, well, why would you want to do that? And she said, I don't know. You know, but she said, but this person seemed to feel that Facebook was the only way to communicate with people. And I said, well, didn't she ever email anybody? I mean, we email people all the time, constantly email. It's so much more convenient. You don't have to interrupt them. You don't have to, you know, you're not texting them. You're not chatting with them. It's nothing interruptive. And I prefer emails to everything. Of course,
And I are on the same page as far as Facebook goes. And that could be just because of our age and whatever. But, you know, I get notifications. I've been poked. And you can poke back. In fact, then you have poking wars.
See, I didn't even know about poke.
I got poked. I can honestly say that I've been poked on the Internet.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
That's violated.
Well,
I 616-221-9887. Give us a call, participate, and we got 999. It's kind of interesting, by the way, Herman Cain.
No, it's not 999 anymore.
That's right. But what is also kind of interesting, too, is that people who follow politics at all that remember Ross Perot. This is what I get a kick out of our political system, is that they're like little children, and by that I mean that, like when Ross Perot was running, he's running as an independent, which, again, one of our failings in our system, because the Electoral College, you know, if you get no votes in the Electoral College, it doesn't matter how many votes you get, you're not getting elected. Because twice in our history, the electoral vote over the popular vote has put a president into office. But anyways, he was quite a stir because he was actually getting the following of the people. And so the Republicans and Democrats are scratching their heads going, huh? We're doing things the way we normally do, and it normally works politically-wise, and people are not coming to us. They're going to this independent. So they figure, we'll copy him. We'll try doing what he's doing. Well, that's what's going on now with Herman Cain, because his 999, or now his 9? Package, and I can't remember the name of the other candidate, but the one that's come out with the flat tax idea.
There have been several.
Yeah, but they haven't suggested that until Herman Cain came out, because otherwise it's the same old argument. You're scum, you're dirty, let's talk about abortion, same old garbage.
Well, I don't know what... I thought Herman Cain was a party, did have a party.
He's Republican.
He's Republican. See, that's the thing that's happening right now. These people are not running as independents. They're running as Republicans. And the Tea Party itself is running people mostly as Republicans, although not totally. But they're running people as an actual party member of a real party, so that when this does happen, they can be a part of the same system and they don't get left out, which is actually probably one of the smartest moves I've heard of. I mean, if you're going to be a separate party, that's fine. That's the thing to do. But on the same token, I would like very much to see the Tea Party become an actual party, and for us to allow them to be a party, because it's important to make them a party. We need a third dividing point. We need somebody to for checks and balances. I mean, it's too easy to get a 50-50 vote now, and we got to stop that.
Well, just like what I mentioned earlier, is that even if you do have a legitimate third party, unless there's a realistic chance that they can get an electoral vote, there's no point. You're wasting your vote.
No, not at all.
How do you figure? Because, like I said, it's like Ross Perot, for example. He got no electoral votes in the election. He got a big following until he had that little skirmish or whatever. That actually, he started dropping in the polls when he hired his new campaign manager, and they started doing same old, same old. But he had, because electoral college is what really put the president in the office. It's not you and me.
I understand that, but when you get a bunch of votes, you can disrupt what the other ones are doing, and you can change the whole attitude of the election by taking votes away from somebody else. So it can make a difference. It's not quite the same as getting elected, but you can change who's getting the electoral votes, for that matter.
Now you can put pressure on, but again, the you know, the electoral college is the deciding factor.
Well, I understand it is, and that's one of the things I agree with you that we need to figure out how to change. That's just one of the things that needs to be changed, is that electoral vote thing. And we've gotten to the point where it's no longer effective, it's no longer necessary, it's no longer a good thing. Because back in the good old days, let's remember, it was very hard to get to the entire population. It was very hard to get to everybody and convince them who you were and what you were doing. And so the electoral vote was important. But I don't believe it's that important anymore. I know a lot of people still say that's a real guiding thing. It's a real important thing. But I disagree. I think we could get rid of it now. Things have changed in the last 100 years. Hello?
You mean like this app called the Internet?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and for that matter, in the last 100 years, television has kind of come around, and it's somehow or another stuck with us for a while. Even radio, for that matter, has made huge changes in things. I keep listening to these old time radio shows at night. I enjoy. I have a little broadcast thing going here, and I run them all the time. And so if I wake up in the middle of the night, I can listen to a radio show and for half an hour or an hour or something. And it's really very interesting. But it's very interesting because they do have some news things and some interview things, and it's very interesting to go with, because radio was the big thing. Radio made the huge, huge difference. Before that, it was all newspapers, and you couldn't, it was even difficult to get news from one coast to the other, because you didn't have anything for a while. You maybe, they came up with the telegraph, but radio quickly supplanted telegraph and made a huge difference in what's going on. But this mass communications thing, it's here to stay, folks, some point, and thank God.
Well, yeah, and looking at the little bit of history in the Electoral College, back in the time, 1870, I believe, which is 5 years after the Civil War, the 15th Amendment was passed, which is the...
I was pretty young then.
Yeah, you were pretty young. Radio was still in its infancy at the time.
1870?
Yeah.
That was pretty infant,
right? But the whole point of it was that... to give everybody a vote, a voice, and because the, I'm reading and talking at the same time. The law guaranteed the federal government would intervene if any state attempted to deny a citizen voting rights because of race.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the reasons for it, plus the demographics of it. But, you know, like Cliff was just saying, is that in the 21st century, we have this real-time communication thing going on, and we really have outgrown the Electoral College.
I really think we have. If you talk to some people and they say we haven't, but I really agree with you. I really do feel we have.
Yeah, it's supposed to get more of a representation of, so a large state like, say, California would have the same voice as a smaller state. But even still, I mean, it should be more of the will of the people, not just the will of the few, because there's too many. Well, on the other side, and how many times have you heard a representative say that, well, you know, even though my constituents feel this way, I, in my all good conscience, couldn't vote that way. And
that's where we have a problem. That's, in my opinion, where we have a problem. And that's why, you know, it's time to do something. We've got to do something. And in my opinion, the first thing to do, well, you know, you've got to pay attention to what's going on. You've got to read the news, or watch the news, or listen to the news. The news is bombarding you in every possible way you can think of. You've got to pay attention to it. That's the first thing you've got to do. And then you've got to vote. You've got to vote. If the person in office for your district, your area, your whatever, is not voting the way you want them to, change them.
Exactly. Because, and I'm glad you brought that up, Cliff, because here's a quick little reminder here. If everything works, everything doesn't work. Welcome to live radio.
I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and 2 lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill?
And that's one of our representatives. No, they're not reading the bill. They're not doing their job, so we have to.
That's right. He should be ousted on his big butt, and for more reasons than one, but particularly this reason, because that's what we hired him for. That's what we put him in office for, is to read the bill, evaluate the bill, and then decide for us whether or not to pass the bill. And he's sitting there saying, it's too big, it's too important, it's too complicated, I can't read that bill. Then get the hell out.
Or Nancy Pelosi's attitude that... Actually, I think I got it right here.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
What type of attitude is that?
Well, I you don't have to. That's the whole idea. You don't have to pass the bill, folks. You just simply don't have to pass it. And just because... And it doesn't make any difference who put it in there. And that's the problem I'm getting here, is everything that's going along party lines. If the Democrats introduce it, then the Democrats feel they have to pass it. If the Republicans introduce it, the Republicans feel they have to pass it. If the President introduces it, he doesn't give a damn. He just makes it an executive order, which is a problem.
Hey, what happened to the will of the people? And that's why... Getting back to Herman Cain and others, one of the reasons why I believe he came out of, I don't know, guidelines just kind of unexpectedly, and gained popularity very quickly, even though he's being criticized that he has no chance of being elected because he's not experienced, he's not a politician. Where, in my view, I think that's a bonus. The guy, you know, he's not a politician. He's been CEO of a business where he
well,
has...
Right, before, just to interrupt you just briefly here, I wanted to mention something. He has been CEO of 3 or 4 different businesses, but one of the ones that he was... His boss put him in as a CEO of Godfather's Pizza. He went a couple of steps further than maybe perhaps you realize. As CEO of Godfather's Pizza, when he ended up, he owned it. He bought it.
Herman Cain has been known as the fixer. He's been contracted by other companies to come in and fix their businesses and make them profitable.
Right.
See, we have this big business here called the United States. Right now we have somebody who is the CEO of this corporation that has very little experience in the retail world.
I didn't think
he's trying to tell people how to run, how to be successful in an area that he has no experience in.
Well, see, as far as I know, he doesn't have any experience in any area. The only experience he has is with the Acorn people or with, you know, nonprofit organizations, where a nonprofit organization can do anything it wants, and it doesn't have to go by any rules because there's no profit, there's nobody to pacify. I mean, we've got a whole country sitting out here that he's destroying, and nobody's, well, it's becoming fast our problem because we aren't doing anything about it.
Well, that's true. And the other warning flag, too, is that, and I hope that we've learned our lesson, is we're still struggling to find out about Obama's past. There's a lot of things that we don't know about him, and I don't know why, of course, again, we don't have investigative news services anymore, but I think any candidate that, that tries to hide their past, and I'm not talking about their personal life, I mean, unless they, you know, a mass murderer or whatever, I mean, I don't care, but, you know, where did you go to school? Where were you born? I think that's it. Why isn't that coming up as a major topic? You know, if you and I have to go, if you and I go to work for someplace, we gotta prove that we have the right to work in the United States. How come these candidates don't?
Well, two things I disagree with you about. One is that we don't have investigative media anymore. We do. There's a lot of them. Fox News is constantly, and CNN News is constantly investigating what's going on. And the other one is that we need to know about Obama and his past. We don't. We don't. Rick Perry has decided he's still not even sure if his birth certificate is real. I will have to give Perry credit. At the end of the interview, he does say, when asked, he believed the birth certificate was real. He says, I had dinner with Donald Trump the other night. He doesn't think it's real. I don't have any idea. But it doesn't matter. Obama is the president of the United States. He is elected. He is distractive. He is a problem. That's the problem.
Well, okay. Now, I'll argue with the fact that it doesn't matter because, for one thing, if it didn't matter, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal to go, okay, yeah, sure, here's my birth certificate. That's what I'm saying, that they should, when they get elected into office or before they take office, they should have to, fill out an I-9 form. But in addition to that, one of the reasons why it does matter is, let's say, for example, especially as much as he hid his birth certificate, let's say, for example, he really is foreign. Okay, he really was born in Kenya. Now, all of a sudden, we got a problem in our hands because we elected and put into office for years a president that didn't qualify to be a president.
But he's already there. We've already done it. Now we've got to worry about getting him out. We don't need to worry about what he is or what he isn't. We need to worry about getting him out. And we need to worry about getting him out, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy, as far as, you know, whether he was a citizen or not a citizen. It doesn't make any difference. We already made the mistake. Now let's fix it.
Well, the point is, yeah, we made the mistake. But let's say it actually turned out that he was from Kenya. Everything that he did during his term in office would be nullified because he would not be a legitimate president.
Wrong.
How do you say?
We can nullify it anyway. That's what my point is. That's the problem that's going to be sitting here, and that's what's going to be really playing hard on the new president that's going to take over, because he is going to have to go in and do exactly that. He is going to have to go in and find all of this crap that this man did, all of these things that this man did, and nullify them. He's going to have to get rid of them, and that's the only way we can do it. I mean, you know, unless we can get in there and get him out right now, then we're still stuck with him until he's out of there. And knowing whether he's a Kenyan or not a Kenyan is not going to make any difference unless it can find a way, because of that, to put him out of office immediately. If we could find out that would be fine. But first of all, he has delivered his birth certificate. He and the State Department has... He delivered a short form, and the State Department went in itself, Washington, D.C., and delivered the long form. So we've got it, and we have to believe that. But whether we do believe it or not, that's what's got to be acted on, because that's the official of it.
Well, like I said, hopefully we're going to learn from our mistakes. We shouldn't have had to spend a lot of time over his birth certificate thing, but... We did, and we need to learn from that. And why aren't people screaming and just saying that we need to, like I say, these candidates that are running? I mean, as you're running for office, yeah, you don't need to prove it. But if you get elected, then you should have to come out and say that, show that, yeah, you do have the legal right to actually hold the office.
Oh, but
let's ask that question.
I'll bet you the next president is going to show us his birth certificate or prove to us that he's a legal citizen.
Well, with that same point, is that if it's not that big a deal, if you're asked to show your birth certificate, why not show it?
Exactly. But the thing, I don't think he was asked. Not until after the fact. Not until he was already in. People started making noises. So, but the point is, let's get him out of there. Let's do something about it. I don't want to spend any more time or any more money or any more effort on trying to find out what a bad person he is. We already know. We know what kind of things he's doing, and we know that he's doing it for his friends and neighbors, and everything that he's doing is going into cronies' pockets and lining somebody's pockets, and we've got to get him out of there, so that has to stop. It absolutely has to stop.
And don't be fooled by the recent events, because that's part of the reason why things are going on right now, why he's walking around, you know, going, look at me, look at me, look at me, is the government wants him in there. And
stop there.
Well, somebody wants him in there, but the thing where I was going with that is that one of the tricks that the government likes to do, and it hasn't really worked out that well with this administration, is they go ahead and they do something like Bin Laden, for example. Normally, they were expecting when Bin Laden was taken out that the president's numbers would go up like crazy. And they were very shocked that it didn't, because this is a tactic that normally works. And that's the thing, is don't be fooled about what's going on and his accomplishments, because he's struggling to try and get reelected, and he knows that it's probably not going to happen.
Well, that's the thing. He is pretty sure that I think it's not going to happen, but he's using everything he can. But none of the stuff that's happening right now is attributable to him. You talk about what's going on in Libya, for example. We've got a new government in Libya. We've got a prime minister in Libya. He had nothing to do with that. He did supply some drones and some equipment and things like that, but he didn't really have, I don't think, much to do with that. He just allowed it to happen. I will have to admit, I'm not sure it was him, but I'll give him the credit in this particular case of not putting people on the ground, not allowing any American to be killed or wounded or anything else. That was a good thing, maybe. Whether it was his fault, I really don't think it was, to be honest with you. It's just that he couldn't really convince anybody to declare a war in this particular case, so he just had to kind of sneak around it and skirt around the whole thing, which in this case perhaps worked to his benefit. But the thing is, it's not over, folks. We don't know what kind of a government we're going to have in there. And I don't think they're going to be that conducive to our way of thinking. I really don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Muslim. It's going to be a bunch of a whole different world than what Obama would like to see in there. And that's happening also in Tunisia. It's happening already changing in Egypt. This whole Middle East thing is changing, and it's not going necessarily our way. Now, it's not necessarily not our way either, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere as complimentary as we'd like it to be.
Well, and on that same token, about whether it's the way that we want it to be, I understand that they're looking at following some excerpts from Sharia law, which, in other words, if they come up with a way they want to rule their country and we don't agree with it, are we going to stick our nose in that too?
I hope the hell not. This is their country. We didn't help them get in where they are, really. But and so consequently, we have no way to determine or to insist on how they run their country. It's just not going to happen. And I, at this particular point, after all they've been through, I don't think they're going to listen to us anyway. So, you know, to hell with it. Let them do what they want to do. And it's not going to make a difference. They're going to do what they want to do. And any kind of a change over there to them is going to be a good change, because they've been under such tyrannical people for so long that anything is better. So, you know, to them, it's what they want to be. Plus the fact, you know, again, we keep thinking of these people in terms of our religion, in terms of our ideas, in terms of our system, in terms of our society. They aren't. Let them be themselves.
Anyway, with 20 minutes left and remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Yes, I can almost gum and walk at the same time. But I wanted to get into, want to get back a little bit on this, Herman Cain and the 999, the flat tax. It's kind of interesting. I was just reading, I got some notes here about other stuff. I guess Romney has a 59-point economic plan, which he's going to release. And I think it's really interesting now that, there is talk about, redoing the tax structure, including that, what I guess everybody else would like to see is the abolishment of the IRS. But,
hello?
It's interesting on the Black Cat idea though, and I'm kind of waiting for this one to come out, and it's starting to come out, is that to do a flat tax, one of the things that you're going to start hearing is, okay, 9%, 2%, or whatever across the board, what about a deduction for this or a deduction for that, or can I deduct my mortgage? Well, as soon as you start adding deductions, you go away from the whole concept of the flat tax idea.
That's it. And that's the end of Herman Cain, in my opinion. He's already given in. He's already changed his system, and now it's going to continue to change, and I think everybody's going to say, it's just going to dismiss it out of hand at this particular point. You can't change your opinion. You can't change, I mean, you can have, add to things and change your opinion because, you know, somebody has, but he, in this particular case, has been so adamant about that. If he's going to change it, he should have waited until he got elected. But don't change it now. And it's already too late now. He's already made the noises and made the changes. And in this particular case, I don't find them bad changes, to be honest with you. But it's that step that you're talking about. It's that step that is going to be the end of him, I think.
Well, I disagree because I look at it as, okay, he introduced the idea. Okay, qualified people came out and said, well, okay, it's a great idea, but it's got some flaws in it. And they pointed out, they gave him the data. And he goes, well, you know what? I didn't look at that, and I'm going to be flexible and change it so that it'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, giving him credit for being flexible, for, you know, looking at the plan over again and go, okay, well, you know, instead of just being totally stubborn and saying this isn't gonna,
I hope I'm wrong, except that I would see. That's my point, is that I would have hoped that he had spent enough time thinking about that and talked to enough people about that and conversed. You know, it sounds like he sat down one night and rattled this thing out and wrote it down and said, okay, this is where to be. And then when he had to sit down and talk about it or think about it, he changed his mind. Well, you know, I would like to think that he had spent enough time with it in the first place to actually have done it right the first time. And that's what that's telling me. And that's why I think that's the beginning of the end of Herman Cain.
Well, it's been rumored, I'm trying to find out which program it was, that the 999 concept was actually tested on a video game like The Sims or something like that. Sim City.
Well, I'm sorry. that doesn't affect me at all. That doesn't impress me at all. If anything, it impresses me badly. I don't want to have my entire country run on a SimCity video game.
Oh, I don't know. You just have little diamonds over your head as you're talking.
I am so set against video games that, I think they're such a waste of time. And to think that our entire country is being modeled after a video game would mean that I probably would have to check out and go to somewhere, other country, move to Germany or something. I'm not ready for that. Just flat not ready for it. But the 999 thing, you realize, of course, the 99 thing, that comes up to 27%. That's what you're paying now. Are you aware of that?
Well, yeah. I'm aware of that every time I look at my paycheck and I look at my gross and I look at how much I get to keep out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you actually, as somebody pointed out, I don't have the numbers in front of me, if you take a dollar that you earned, and you follow that dollar through fruition, the amount of taxes you're actually paying is about 65%.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Well, by the time the taxes that are taken out that what you earned that dollar, the taxes that are taken out for what you spent that dollar on, I mean, how much are you totally paying in taxes?
27%. If you look at it. Look at your total. It doesn't make any difference how you look at the dollar, and you can't break it up that way. When you, what you got to look at is what you say, how much you made that year, and then how much you took home that year. And if you look at that, it's about 20, 25, 30%, right in that area.
As far as income generated. So what I'm, I guess what I'm saying you're not following is that, okay, I make a dollar, and I pay, you know, 27% out of that dollar. And then what's remaining, I go purchase something like gas, for example. Now there's another 42 cents per gallon federal and state taken out of that. So actually, you know, how far did that dollar go, and how much money did you contribute into taxes from earning originally that $1?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I I'll stop because I can't explain it any better than you can. So. I think we're at an impasse on that one, but I agree with you that there are some taxes that are there, the gas taxes and things that are in there that are bad. I think we've got
taxes and fees actually hurt. Like, I'll give an example. I have another vehicle. It's a pickup that is sitting in my garage, and I cannot afford, because I'm poor, what is it now, $98 to renew it for 2 years? And I get tired of people saying, well, in Oregon it's cheaper than some other states. That's not the point. They keep raising it.
It's not cheaper anymore. It is. In the last 5 years, it has gone up so much that we are not cheaper anymore.
Right. But the whole point is, instead of them getting something, they're not getting anything. I mean, yeah, I can't use my vehicle, but I can't afford to license it either. And what's really sad about that, it's a Datsun pickup. It gets a lot better mileage per gallon in my car.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you are struggling month to month just to make your bills and you're barely got your nose above water, you know, you get thrown with these extra fees. You know, they threw extra fees to fix the roads or whatever fee that they're going to have. In Portland, they're adding increasing the sewer fee to cover something that's non-sewer related. You know, there gets to a point that the money tree, which is us, is just squeezed so dry, there's nothing left. And for some reason, they just think that, you know, we're an endless pot of money.
Well, in Oregon, we are. We seem to keep passing things and giving them more money, like it or not, and we don't ever stop. We don't ever tell them to go where to go or how long to stay there or anything else. We just keep giving in. Again, it's back to, we've got to wake up. We are the public. And you know, the way our country is set up and the way our government is set up, we are supposedly the government, ready or not. And we're falling down. We're not doing our job. So we've got to, my first thing on things you have to do, is first one is pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to your taxes. Pay attention to what you're spending. Pay attention to what you're driving or not driving, for example. And then you've got to vote. You got to sit down, and with the idea that you paid attention so you have an understanding of what's going on around you, you've got to take a look at who's running, and that's part of paying attention, and then vote for the one that you've decided is going to do the job that you want to have them done. And that's the most important thing. We're coming up on an election very shortly. We're getting right into it. We're not that many months away from the first primary election in this particular one. And so we're right down to the wire, folks. So you've got to start paying attention. And unfortunately, you've already had like six different candidate forums that have already happened, and we're on a high, well, not a hiatus, but it's going to be a while before we get to the next one. So pay attention to what they're saying and listen to what the different candidates are saying. There's a million ways to get that information. It can be totally free by watching television. Chances are you even
that fad called the internet.
What?
Or that fad called the internet. But one thing I wanted to kind of add really quick, though, and is the Occupy movement. This is something that, even though there is no agreement per se why they're there, but as somebody, one of the protesters pointed out, it doesn't matter why they're there. It's the fact that the numbers of people that are there, and this is nationwide, And when is the last time that you've seen nationwide a huge group of people get together and voice their opinion, or just get together like
that? They aren't voicing their opinion. They're all just getting together and being disruptive. That's the problem. There's a lot of them out there that are disruptive, but they don't have an opinion. They don't have an opinion as a group. I get more of an opinion out of a group that goes to watch AC/DC perform a song than I do out there.
No, I agree with you. That's why I've said it, that they don't really have a common theme. But the underlying common theme is that people are they're angry. They're upset. Everyone has their own reason for participating. I mean, the official demands, you know, minimum wage being $20 an hour, whatever. But the whole point is that in the economy, with the jobs, the unemployment, taxes, everything that's going on, people have their own reason for showing up. That's why they're saying is don't look at why they're there. Just look at the fact that of the numbers of the people that have showed up just to make a statement, whatever that statement is.
See, I totally disagree with that, because if we took all of those people had to spend something to get there. I mean, even if it's only $1. $2, whatever it is, they all had to spend something, and they're not accomplishing any possible thing. They're not accomplishing anything except having us talk about numbers. If they'd take all of those people and each one of them actually come up with an idea or a thought or a thing, or even if it take each one of them and have them stay home and contribute $1, they could go online and contribute $1 to something. We've got thousands and thousands and thousands of them. They're not accomplishing anything. What are they doing? They're wasting our time. And
what if all people got out and voted?
I would love it if they'd get out and vote, but I don't think they will.
You never know. I think 2012 is going to be very interesting. I think if Obama has accomplished anything, is the fact that he's gotten a lot of people very upset and more involved in government where they normally wouldn't be. Because, I mean, let's face it, if you got a job and you're making the bills, you don't care about what else is going on. You come home, you watch your football, you know, eat your chips. You don't really pay attention to the news. But when you're unemployed and you can't get a job, you got a master's degree and you're working a minimum wage job because that's the only job you can get, you know, because it affects you more personally, then you start paying more attention.
Well, it's really kind of sad that the entire country has to starve to death to pay attention, but you know, hope they will, and I hope that they do get out and vote. I hope this is the most impressive voter turnout that we've ever had in the history of our country. It would really be nice, but that's why I go back again. My first step, pay attention to what is happening. Step two, vote. And
well, that's why it was very embarrassing during the 9/11 attack. The number of people that called the TV stations and were upset because their football game was preempted.
Well, see, that's again, see, we're, well.
That's how isolated we are. That's how, I don't know how I'll put it, but disconnected from the world that we are.
There you go. It's like, I
feel that for people to pay attention to what's going on in the presidential election, we should have it as forum like American Idol. You know, is Simon available to be on the panel, you know?
No, he's doing Extreme Something or other.
Extreme Something, but, you know, get Paul Abdul and Simon and...
Saying he's got another program, he won't do it. He's already signed up and doing another program.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, okay, so he's not available. You know, have call his agency if you can arrange it. But the point is that unless it's in that type of a forum, the American people don't care.
I think it would be more effective if it was a sport. So maybe we need to, well.
Coming up in this corner, it's Mitt Romney, followed by Hurricane.
Exactly. And the other thing would be of course, I don't like to propose this because it means making another law, but make it a law that you have to spend at least 60 seconds in every ball game talking about elections, talking about politics, and getting people to pay attention to what's going on as far as their life is concerned. This is their life. The ball game is, they more, human beings, I don't, well, of course, I have trouble.
Because you're watching the Ducks game, and it's like, And, oh no, he fumbled. It's taking a fumble. We got to get out and vote and go out and,
well, it doesn't have to interrupt the game. It can be just a part of it. I mean, they interrupt the game all the time to go to sport, go to commercials. And so they could always make it a part of a commercial break or a type of, that type of thing. I mean, they can, they.
Watch you, Bobby.
Yeah, sports games are not played for the actual game anymore. They're played to go on TV. And so consequently, what they do and when they do it is all based around when the commercials go in. And that could be stuck in there somewhere. But it's not going to happen. And so we've got to completely implore the public. Everybody listening to us, everybody that you know, if you're listening to us, call somebody and tell them, pay attention. We've got to start somewhere. That's going to be my whole, I'm going to have a whole campaign around. We've got to start somewhere.
And,
I don't want to run for,
I heard it here first.
Can you add it? Thing is, I know what's up for the president coming up, and there's no way I want to do that. That's the work. But we've got to get in there, and we've got to pay attention, and we've got to vote. That's the important thing. We have got to vote this time around, but you've got to do it intelligently, which means that you've got to watch TV. You've got to pay attention. The last couple of candidate forums that I've watched were actually quite interesting, but much more so than some of the earlier ones that I've seen. Some of them are just really boring, but the last couple have been quite interesting, and I've learned a lot about the different people that are involved. So get involved, pay attention, and take a look at what's going on around you, because it's important. This, you know, your job, your life, everything is now, it's becoming very apparent that it can all be taken away from you just by somebody being stupid, and we have a president that qualifies.
And don't fall for the sound bites. I mean, I'm just as guilty. You know, I kept hearing hope and change. You know, we need to do something different. Well, he was right. We need to do something different. It's just that his difference wasn't what we needed. But it's a wake-up call that, you know, we wanted some change. We didn't want any more of the Bush-style era. And I think that's one thing that helped Obama get elected. And plus the fact, look who he was running against. I mean, come on.
Well, I'm sorry, but at this particular point, I think the Bush-style system was quite nice.
In comparison, yes, I have to agree.
I mean, ready or not, I don't know anything that you can say bad about any of the Bushes or Clinton or anybody else. They're all great just compared to what we're getting now. So, you know, that was my mistake. I sat there like a fool, like an absolutely idiot that I think now, saying to myself, you know, what can he do? It's only 4 years. He can only do so much harm. Well, that much harm is significantly more than I ever dreamed he could possibly do. He has far exceeded himself exceeded my expectations of him as how bad he could do things.
And speaking of expectations, we are out of time, and I'd like to put a call out there for people on our Blog Talk Radio page. If you can follow our show, that would be greatly appreciated. So as many people as possible, and again, that helps us out when we, because, you know, it costs us money to do the shows, folks, and so, you know, except for our sponsors, we really don't. Anyway, we'll be back next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, and again, check
like
us out on
show,
Facebook,
and clicking on the like button.
Everybody.
You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.